we talked a lot about MLS in the last segment and officiating and the drama that is going on right now with the Canadian Championship. I don't care what league you are, but no drama beats the NBA. The NBA, as of today, Kawhi Leonard penned a letter to the city of San Antonio, the Spurs organization, even Greg Popovich, the guy who he did not have a good relationship with at the end of the year, saying thank you. It was capitalized, caps lock on thank you like 15 times in this.
Yep.
Did not acknowledge what happened at the end, how they soured, just a simple thank you. And I don't know, it just, it seemed to me that
it felt like, cold. Did
Spurs
it feel
fans
cold?
Aren't stupid, Kawhi. Like, well, you're not going to just mention it. They're going to boo you when you go there next.
Mm-hmm. Well, it, just reading it, it was just, it felt very vanilla. And it was just like, okay, he said what he had to say. And
saying,
it was just like, yes, thank you, organization. Thank you, Pop. Thank you, fans. Thanks for the good and the bad. And there were more, the good outweighed the bad. And it was just like,
a simple, hey, I know it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but blah, blah, blah. Like, the, even
he
that
doesn't
would
address
have been better.
It.
It's a bad look for Kawhi Leonard, but he strikes me as a guy right now that could care less.
Yeah, like his
care less
factor?
About his PR right now. I think he still is one of the biggest competitors in the game, but his public relations, I don't think he cares.
No, I mean, the fact that he said anything at all, right? We've been waiting for him to say something, and he says it on paper, and he says very little of it. It's just there because it's the right thing to do, right? You have to leave and say, thanks, organization. Here's my piece of paper, and I'm out. Peace.
Hey, it's a clean slate for him in Toronto. I think Raptors fans will appreciate. Spurs fans are going to be salty for a long, long time. To chat a little bit more about the NBA, we're now joined by our friend at Yahoo Sports, one of the best insiders in the game and co-host of the Pull Up Podcast with CJ McCollum, Jordan Schultz. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing real well, guys. Thank you.
Well, hey, we've been paying attention to a lot of NBA news. It seems like every day, some sort of news just trickles in. The big news north of the border and south of the border today is that Kawhi Leonard wrote his letter to the San Antonio Spurs organization and the city. What did you make of this? What was your reaction to it? And is there anything missing in this letter, you think?
Well, I think it's a lot of window dressing. And I think there's also a lot of probably pain to that letter and to Kawhi. I mean, if you really think about it, despite all the issues at the end, he was the face of the franchise the last few years. Won a Finals MVP in 2014, and you know I'm sure it is heart of hearts. He's probably saddened with how everything turned out. But nevertheless, I think it's a pretty good fit for Toronto. In fact, I think it's a great fit, all things considered, to try and make a run at this. And I can tell you, in talking to the organization, that's really what they're looking to do. They feel like, let's make one run at this and see where we can go and kind of worry about everything else later. But I give the Raptors credit because they're following the same model as Oklahoma City did with Paul George. They didn't talk to Kawhi before the draft or before the trade, and they're going to bet on their recruiting him every day in their building and the opportunity to bet on their culture.
Well, and looking at the Toronto Raptors, you're absolutely right. They tried to hit a home run here, and it seems like they have. If, of course, Kawhi Leonard is healthy and ready to go, and he's a Kawhi Leonard of old. Jordan, you're well-connected as it gets in the NBA as far as knowing what people are saying behind the scenes. Kawhi being an L.A. guy, I know you have links to the L.A. as well. Is he planning on doing a one-and-done in Toronto, or what's the, you know, what are the streets saying right now? What are your sources saying?
Yeah, well, the general thought process is that Kawhi's going to be there a year and he's going to leave, but I think Toronto is one of the most well-liked NBA cities for guys to visit. If you talk to enough players, coaches, it's always at the top of the list, top three, top five in terms of favorite cities to visit. So, you know, you couple that in with the fact that he'll be playing with a high-level point guard. You know, they're obviously banking a lot on OG Anunoby to take another step. But, you know, the general thought process, is that he's going to leave and maybe he'd be a Laker or a Clipper, but that he wouldn't another year. But I think if Toronto has a great year, they win 55 games, he has a great year and he's healthy, you know, I think they have a puncher's chance to re-sign him. I don't think it's fair to just assume no matter what that he's gone, just like it wasn't with Paul George, even though he had said previously he wanted to go back to LA and be a Laker.
NBA insider Jordan Schultz joining us here on Reach Deep. Jordan, if you say so many players like to come to Toronto, I mean, the Christmas Day schedule was released yesterday, and how does Toronto not get a game? The defending regular season East champs don't get a Christmas Day game.
Yeah, that was really surprising, because I thought they'd get something. I wasn't sure when it would be, Myra, but I thought they would get something at home. That was really surprising. It's also one of the best, I mean, it really is one of the best fan bases with the Jurassic Park, and everybody knows that. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense to get LeBron and obviously, you know, some of these marquee markets on TV and Giannis and at the Garden where he hit a game winner before. But I was surprised by that, I must say.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports and the Pull Up Podcast with CJ McCollum. Jordan, looking at the Raptors and where they sit in the East, where do you have them in terms of your preseason power rankings against the 76ers and the Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, I think the four best teams are clearly Toronto, Indiana, Boston, Philadelphia. Yeah, sorry, I'm walking around New York City and there's noise, but regardless, those are the four best teams. And You know, Milwaukee, you can put in that conversation, but I still think that they could be a year away. But when it comes to the East, like, we had Jaylen Brown on our podcast yesterday with CJ McCollum, and he said there's no question the Celtics are getting out of the East. Now, that makes sense on paper because they're going to get Gordon Hayward back. Kyrie's going to be healthy. Another year of development for him and for Tatum. But I think teams like Indiana are interesting because I think Miles Turner is going to make a big jump. He spent a lot of the summer getting in great shape. Him and Oladipo. I still think Toronto with Kawhi Leonard has a shot. And I think, you know, if you really want to be, if you want to be picky, you could say that Milwaukee really is going to win 55 games. I don't think they're going to, but to me, the Raptors are in a really good position. I just think the East has been so kind of forgotten about at this point that to say that Boston's definitely going to win the East because LeBron is gone, I don't think it's fair. I would pick them, but I don't think it's fair.
I did have a listen to your podcast this week with Jaylen Brown, young, confident player. I wonder how the dynamic is going to shift, because you mentioned Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving last year being injured. It seemed like that gave the opportunity to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum right to really take that leadership role. Is it going to be smooth sailing with all four of those cooks in the kitchen?
So we asked him that, you know, with all the rotations, and he seems to think it is because – you know, that they have so many competitive players and the flexibility that Brad Stevens is going to have. But I think any time you have a guy as talented as Tatum or as talented as Brown or even Rozier, who played big minutes for them in the playoffs without Kyrie, if you ask them to take a step back or, you know, maybe in Rozier's case, even more of an ancillary role because of Kyrie, with young players, I think it's a challenge. Now, I think they will be able to figure it out because, as he said, this is a very close-knit team, and Brad Stevens is tremendous. He really is. But, you know, I think it's a lot of mouths to feed, and it's a lot of very competitive guys, and that can go both ways. And when you're winning, as you know, I mean, problems get masked. But if you start to lose and things start to go awry, then you can have issues. So it'll be really interesting to see. I think they'll be okay, but I think it could take some time.
Jordan, one of the most competitive guys, if not the most competitive guy in the NBA, is the King, LeBron James. A hot topic here in these studios is the LA Lakers, predicted to win by some experts 48.5 games this
right
season, over under. I think that they're going to win more than that. Randeep disagrees and strongly disagrees with me. Where are you on that?
I'm with you, Myra. I'm with you. Well, when you say, Randy, when we say that you strongly disagree, you're thinking like 45, 44?
No, I'm saying, you know, the young guys, to me, it's up to the young guys. Obviously, LeBron gives right you wins, but how good are those young guys? Can they provide support? So I'm saying, yep, close, but not hitting 49 for me.
Well, to that point, I thought their moves this offseason, other than LeBron, were really curious. I mean, like, I understood Rondo, but KCP, $12 million, Lance, even JaVale McGee, I didn't love those moves because he needs shooters. So, mm-hmm, you know, it's the second worst 3-point shooting team in the NBA last year, and they really didn't improve on that front. So, that to me is a concern, but I do think they'll go over because I think LeBron is worth 15, 20 wins. And, you know, they improved considerably the second half of last year. My biggest question mark for them, aside from everything else, is what happens with Lonzo and Rondo, because Lonzo went from being the face of the franchise just a year ago to now, you know, Ingram's a bigger face, Kuzma, LeBron, you know, Rondo might start. So that's my biggest concern. But I do think they'll win 50 games.
Well, anytime LeBron James is on a team as well, and I've seen reports about this already, Jordan, Luke Walton and the coaching situation always comes up because it's LeBron James and he has a history. Is that, you know, what's his runway? If this team doesn't start off very well, like, what kind of situation is there that this they do want to improve significantly from last year? But yeah. In a worst case scenario, is Luke Walton kind of on watch here?
You know, normally with a young coach, I would say yes, but I think the ownership and the front office with Rob Pelinka and Magic believe so much in Luke that I think he has more runway, especially based on how they played last year. But I reported afterward, LeBron had no contact with Luke throughout that whole process, and I just think that's strange because, you know, LeBron has always been known as a hyper-competitive guy, yes, but also somebody that's hard on coaches. And if you think about his relationship with David Blatt, you know, even early on with Eric Spoelstra, obviously he had some issues with Ty Lue. There's always been problems. So, you know, Mike Brown, I think it's going to be a big adjustment for Luke. And I think, you know, the point was made during the playoffs that it is hard to play with LeBron. And I think that's fair. And I can tell you, I think it's hard to coach LeBron as well because he as rightfully he's earned, he's enabled and has the ability to dictate a lot of the terms.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Jordan Schultz of Yahoo Sports and co-host of the Pull Up Podcast with CJ McCollum. Before we kind of wrap up here, Jordan, wanted to get your thoughts on Melo in Houston's the worst-kept secret in the NBA going back almost 2 weeks now. How does he fit with the Rockets for you?
So I think that's all his entire fit, guys, is based off of what he sees himself as. And what I mean by that is if he's comfortable in a reserve role, or, you know, 25 minutes where he can be kind of that Team USA Melo and a microwave guy, I think he'll be great. He made 169 threes last year, career high. And I reported that Chris Paul, you know, he advocated for him. They bury the hatchet, D'Antoni and Carmelo, all these good things. But until Carmelo's willing to accept that role, I don't think it's going to be a great fit. So I think there is a big learning curve there. And if it doesn't go well, you know, they could just waive him because, you know, they're only paying him the veteran minimum. So I think it's going to overall be good, and I think he'll help them, but so much of that's based on what role he sees himself as. I saw him today at the Lifetime Sky getting shots up and playing pickup, and he seemed to be in good spirits, but, you know, a lot can change. If you're Carmelo Anthony, you're a potential future Hall of Famer, and you go to Houston and they say, we only want you to play 20 minutes tonight. I don't know if he'll accept that right away.
One quick question, Jordan, before we let you go and get on with your day here. NCAA rule changes in effect as of yesterday, the Condoleezza Rice Commission releasing their new rule changes. Your thoughts and the key takeaways there.
Yeah, I thought I mentioned the word window dressing earlier. This is the ultimate window dressing. I don't, you know, the NCAA is so corrupt and so single-minded and tunnel vision that this, to me, was just another example of that. Now, on paper, you could say, well, you know, guys are going to have the opportunity undrafted to come back to school. But what I look at is do we only – I think Jay Billis tweeted this out. Do we only care about then the top-rated guys? And what about the players that aren't top-rated that end up overachieving, guys like Steph Curry that aren't considered elite prospects when they're 19 or 18 years old? So I didn't like it one bit, and I think it's interesting how the NCAA did this separate – of the Players Association of the NBA. I think it's very indicative of the NCAA as a whole.
Hey, the season is still a far, far way away, basically, in October starting, but the stories continue to come out. Jordan, thank you very much, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.
You got it. Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
Thank you. Sportsnet 650.